landed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Now, I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
I got a couple of stories here for our top story of the day. Top stories of the day. But yesterday had to be one of the more interesting finishes to a game, to the end, to the regular season. You saw the New Orleans Saints game. You guys have probably seen all that stuff by now. They ended up winning 48-17 over the Falcons. Didn't do enough to get into the playoffs, though. They won, but they needed some help. So they get an interception. Tyrann Mathieu, Honey Badger, gets an interception, runs it back to the Falcons' one-yard line. Dennis Allen, at that point, there's a minute 13 left. He calls the victory formation to take a kneel and run out the final minute. But backup quarterback Jameis Winston was sent in to take the final snap in the victory formation, but the team instead ran Jamal Williams, who didn't have a touchdown this year. That would have been his one touchdown, up the middle for a one-yard score. He did get the score. Now, they lined up. That's the key. They lined up in victory formation, faked it, and ran it in. Arthur Smith, who has now been fired by the Falcons, who was fired at 12:01. Like, wanted to make sure we got that in on Monday, first thing. We wanted to be the first one. He was not happy. Dennis Allen ended up having to apologize for something he didn't do. Where do we want to go first? You want to go with Arthur?
Let's go with Dennis, because I have
that. Okay.
First.
Here's what Dennis Allen had to say, head coach of the Saints, about the debacle at the end of that one.
Good team win. I'm going to start off by apologizing to Arthur Smith and the Falcons. That was not a play that we intended to run down there to finish out that game. That's not who we are. That's not how we operate.
It's such a privilege to work with these guys. They've worked extremely hard all season. You know, we've clearly come up short, but I appreciate the hell out of them. Love coaching this team.
All right, so Dennis Allen first, then Arthur Smith. After the fact, you saw how mad Arthur Smith was. He goes up to Dennis Allen when they're meeting in the middle to shake hands. He's pointing his hand and he's like, that's blank, 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 blankety, blank, blank, blank. And Dennis Allen's like trying to plead with him, like, hey, I didn't call that. We called the kneel. And he's not listening to it. He doesn't want to hear it at that point. Because you wouldn't want to hear that. Jameis Winston. So how much of this is going to be on Jameis Winston? Did he make the decision to do this?
Why don't we hear from him and all right. See what he says.
Here's Jameis Winston. Get your popcorn, because anytime this man speaks, it's highly entertaining.
Well, I apologize to DA,
yeah,
because the play was victory.
Yeah.
But I also explained to DA that it was a team decision.
Yeah.
And I think when you have a team morale, and I asked the guys, I said, guys, like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
We know how much Jamal means to this team, and I understood from DA's perspective. So I give him that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but DA didn't condone that at all.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't. However, we decided as a team to do it, and man, we got an interception to the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah. So if we would have scored, would it still would have been disrespectful?
Right.
You know. So,
what did he say? If we wouldn't have scored, if he wouldn't have scored, would it still been disrespectful?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was still disrespectful because you faked like you were kneeling. Angel, I still don't like the idea of pouring it on with a minute left. But I really don't like the idea of faking like you're going to kneel it. That was the worst part of this.
Well, I think it's him acknowledging, yeah, I know our coach didn't like that. However, no, there is no however. He's the coach, tells you to do victory formation.
Yep.
You take one knee and you go home. You won the game. You don't need to run up the score. Unless he had some contract incentive, which I don't know if he did, but one touchdown won't.
Well,
you know, oh, you got one touchdown. Here's $20.
And
go
a meaningless touchdown, too. Like, how do you feel good about that touchdown? Jamal Williams is he's another likable guy. He opens his mouth and he's got a smile and he's always got something kind of interesting to say.
He likes anime.
Yeah. He has a lot of really interesting interests. So I see why you root for the guy, but do you really feel like that touchdown especially because you faked it. If you would have lined up in an offense, okay, at least it's our offense versus your defense. The defense was season over, man. They're not. They're thinking you're going to kneel it. That's how guys get hurt. That's what I didn't like about that.
It's okay. We're in the huddle, in the helmet. Jameis, just go victory formation. Okay. Hey, guys, what do you want to do? What did coach say? Yeah, it doesn't matter. What do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to fake a knee.
Yeah, dude.
Whose idea is that?
Who? That's got to be Jameis, right? Yeah. What do you guys want to do? And they're like, I don't care. You're the quarterback, man, but let's run it in.
Did coach say take a knee?
Yeah.
He suggested it.
So
it was like a Madden coach suggestion box, yeah. And they had three options.
Yeah. Dixon's saying, Jameis is meaning, would it have been disrespectful if Tyrann Mathieu would have ran it in? Not as bad. Not really.
No, but you see DBs do that. Okay, I got to pick at the end of the game. I'm
pick
just going to take a knee and be done.
Yeah, and that was good and respectful of him. But had he ran it in, would it have been that big of a deal? Would you be fired up this morning? Would Arthur Smith have come out?
No, you'd probably be like, you probably could have taken a knee, but oh well.
Yeah, he probably could have taken a knee, but it was a pick six.
For him, that could be an incentive.
Right, and pick sixes are so rare. They don't happen very much. So I don't think it would have been disrespectful. I mean, maybe. If you really wanted to die on that hill, tell me it's disrespectful. Probably is, yeah. But again, a pick six, that's a rare thing. It's one of the most spectacular plays in sports, in my opinion. It's so hard to get a pick, and it's so hard to have open room once you get that pick to go score a touchdown. So I wouldn't have freaked out had he scored. But then he kneeled. He slid or, you know, gave himself up so that you can kneel this thing out. And then Winston comes out in victory formation, and then they fake it. That's the second worst part of that. That's the worst part, excuse me. The second worst part of that is going for it in the first place.
And knowing your coach wouldn't have told you to do that. Like saying, oh yeah, he wouldn't condone that.
You just went against your coach. Like, I appreciate that you're coming out full force saying this has nothing to do with Dennis Allen. But in doing so, you're also making Dennis Allen look worse. Because you don't have control of your team.
Now he's getting yelled at by Arthur Smith for.
And now he's got to stand up there on the podium at the end of the season when he's frustrated they just missed the playoffs, and he's got to talk about a meaningless touchdown. Texter Winston and the other players went rogue, and it's BS. The other team thought they were taking a knee. Is scoring a meaningless touchdown really make them happy and sleep well at night? That's what I'm saying. Like, does Jamal Williams go, yeah, I got my touchdown, sweet. Yeah, they weren't ready for it. They just laid down for you.
I'd rather have the motivation going into next season, say, I didn't score last year. Not, I faked a knee at the 1 yard line.
When the Falcons defense was like, turn around, probably already thinking about Mexico, getting a vacation in. They're not playing defense anymore. Game's over. And so one of the reporters asked Jameis, like, are you worried because that's a division rival? You got to play him twice a year. Jameis' response to that was like, well, we already played him. Season's over. We already played him twice. No. We're talking about for the future, although you might not be there next year. That's one of those things where if you're Dennis Allen, you got to bring the 11 guys that were on the field at that point, you got to bring them into a room. Say, whose decision was it? Well, it was us as a team. Jameis keeps saying it was us as a team. Well, Tyrann Mathieu, did he agree with that?
Okay, who gets the play call from the coach? Whose helmet has the radio in it?
It would be Jameis Winston.
Okay.
Who said, hey, we're going to kneel it. They called him to go out in victory formations from the sideline, so everybody knew it was. So who changed it? Jameis says he asked him, what do you guys want to do? But to me, it sounds like Jameis kind of urged that. Like, what do you guys want to do? Do we want to kneel it, or do we want to get our guy in there who we love and fight for? Which, again, Jamal Williams...
You can love your teammate, but doing that is like, that didn't feel like a loving teammate thing.
It's not... Who cares? You're going to look at that touchdown that he got that 1 year, and it's going to be meaningless. It's going to be, you went up against a defense that wasn't expecting it, and you're lucky nobody got hurt. Because their offensive line knows what they're doing. They're going to go at it hard and blow people up, right? This defense is suddenly hit, taken off guard, because they're like, whoa, you're playing? Because when you kneel it, what do? You just kind of barely touch each other, and you start shaking hands. That's what the defensive line was ready to do. But instead, this offense is going hard to get Jamal in for a touchdown. Let's see. Big Hub says, now Jameis needs to be released. That TD was pointless, but Arthur Smith and the Falcons shouldn't even be in the situation in a rivalry. He has a right to be mad. because it looked bad on his way out. Should you release? I don't know what Jameis Winston's contract situation looks like, but
I don't think it's anything long term.
Do you move on from him after that? Because he's still a formidable backup, and I do think he's wildly entertaining.
I think they like Taysom Hill more than him, so.
So is that an example that you set? Hey, you.
I wouldn't want that. If I was the coach, I'm like, hey, no, we're not doing that.
No, I'd release him. That was
and
a bad
to
enough
acknowledge
thing.
That you know I wouldn't approve of that. It's like.
If it would have
parents,
been.
Don't stick a fork in the electric socket and you do it anyway, knowing mom and dad are going to be mad if you do it.
Was his touchdown any kind of an incentive? If he got one touchdown, was it going to give him $1 million or something like that?
Maybe like 25 grand for score. Like, you know, you get. You know, $1,000 every time you get a touchdown or something, and if you get to like 15, you get a big boost.
Yeah. So here's what Williams said. Every last person was dead set on getting me a touchdown. They just wanted me to get a touchdown. That's it. They're just great people. I appreciate them for understanding and having the awareness and perspective of what's happening in the game and taking the consequences of what would happen after. I appreciate my teammates for having my back and wanting to get me a touchdown to show the love to me.
And why not just line up and run the play?
Line up and run the play at least.
Why fake a knee?
Yeah, don't fake the knee. You line up at least, at the very least. You shouldn't be doing it then, but at the very least, you line up.
Like, taking a knee is a play that's almost like, hey, we're being a good sport about this.
You remember, was it Greg Schiano? He was a Buccaneers head coach for a while. Where is he now? He's in college. His thing was the opposite of that, Angel. If a team would kneel, he would push his defense to keep going hard at him and try to get inside there and blast the quarterback.
He's the head coach at Rutgers.
At Rutgers, okay. He used to do that. I hated him for it. I just hated that act. But he would, if they would line up in victory formation, he would urge his defense, keep fighting. I want you going hard. I want you knocking people down and trying to get in there and get that football. And I didn't like that, but this is worse. He said... Jamal Williams said, the reason it means so much to me is not because I scored and got a touchdown, but because my teammates wanted to get me a touchdown in the last play of what could be our last game. That right there shows me a lot about my teammates' character. I don't know. It's not the Disney ending that you think it is, Jamal. Like, it's not this... Angel, you still haven't seen Varsity Blues yet, I'm guessing.
No.
I can tell, because you... You'd have a glow about you. This was meaningful in the game, though. The coach was a jerk, and, you know, he would run the ball with this running back who happened to be black, so you'd read between the lines. The coach might have been maybe some racial undertones there. But he would use the running back in between the 20s, and if he didn't break a touchdown beyond like 20, he wasn't going to score because the coach would never give him the ball inside the 10 or the 5. So he called a pass play, and Dawson's Creek was like, no, blank that, man. We're getting you in the end zone, bro. And then they hand it to him. He gets in, and the coach is really mad, and the running back's like, thanks, Mox. Well, that's different. You're still trying to win the game. Yeah, you win against your coach, but also your coach is kind of a jerk. Probably racist, probably terrible human being. But that at least was like a memorable, my teammates got my back no matter what. Mox is going to go get yelled at by that terrible coach, and he didn't care. He's really got my back. This was, let's take advantage of a defense that thinks the game's over and potentially hurt them and give you this meaningless touchdown. Like, they're all trying to pretend that it's this Disney Rudy ending, and it's not. It's dirty. It's a dirty play. Glad I could get a Dawson's Creek. Well, Dawson's Creek and Varsity Blues reference in. You never know when you're going to get those in a show. So you got to take advantage of them when they come. Texter here from Aaron. The Dan Marino fake spike is one of the most famous trick plays of all time. I've got no problem with it. Well, the fake spike is different. It's different. You're still an active, you're still trying to go win a game, right? Fake spike's different. Victory formation. We are waving the white flag. We beat you up pretty good. We're done. Go enjoy your summer, your off season. You should have at the very least lined up as if you were going to run a play.
That fake spike was Dolphins trailing the Jets 21-24 with 43 seconds left.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're still trying to go win a football game.
And they didn't line up in a quarterback kneel or spike formation.
Yeah, you faked them out. I've seen that. You can run it in Madden. You can't run a fake kneel.
He didn't even look like he was faking like a spike. He just got the ball, dropped back, and throw a touchdown.
Yeah, they thought he was going to spike it. That's fine. That's totally fine. You need to be ready. If you're a defense...
Do we tie the game or do we go for the win?
Yeah, if you're a defense, you should be told, hey, just in case, sometimes teams run fake spikes. Watch out for it. So it could happen. You're not telling your defense, hey, sometimes guys run, line up for kneel like they're going to end the game in a blowout. Be ready for it. You're not telling anybody that. It was not magical. And like Jamal Williams speaking about his teammates, like, hey, they got my back and stuff. No, man, at the expense of hurting somebody. And
well, you're not going to throw your teammates under the bus.
Right.
Forget that.
But you're just like going over the moon about what really blew me away is they got my back. You went against your coach and you disrespected the game and you disrespected your opponents and you almost put them in harm's way for a touchdown. It'd be different if like the guy was signed a year contract for league minimum and he got an incentive if he gets one touchdown that he got $1 million and he knew he's never going to play again because he's not very good. Maybe then that's different, but you're still lining up. I still don't like the lining up in the victory formation and faking it. Players from both teams have probably been on both sides of getting your nose rubbed in at one time or another. You just can't do this. Hard to believe that not one guy out on the field questioned it. Yeah, that's kind of a... I would question the character of my guys out there at that point. I know it's a rivalry game, but there is a limit.
You know, they're grown men, yes, but it's you're grown men playing a sport. And you're playing a game, so there are rules, there are sportsmanship things. You're going to run the play, run a play.
Run a play.
Line up as a knee.
Right. Eastside Chris Brady, you're at a 50-yard line, game tied, 5 seconds left. Fake kneel down, throw a winning pass or kneel. Now you're getting into
it.
That's a good question, though.
What do the analytics say you're going to score from the 50-yard out?
As if with a fake kneel? But I still think if you did that at the 50-yard line, it's tied. They think you're going to kneel it. I would still think that a smart defensive coordinator would be like, be ready for anything, guys. Let's back everybody the hell up.
You're still going for a win. You're not okay, we're okay with the tie, but we're going to try this. There's a small chance we get it. If we get it, we win the game. If we don't, okay, we go to overtime.
Right.
Not we're up by three possessions. Let's get one more.
See, that's different. So you said, Chris, I could see a trick play being used at the 50 if it's tied, and you think they're going to kneel it just to go to overtime, but instead you fake it. It's different, but that's situational. If your guys aren't ready for situations, then it's your own fault. That wasn't a situation. That was the end of the game. Aaron says, it's still a play of deception where you show like you're not really going to try on this play, and you do something different. Yeah, but the fake spike is something that teams are aware of, defenses are aware of. That could happen. I've seen fake spikes.
Yeah, and if you're going to fake spike at the 6-yard line, okay, you still have, if it's an incomplete pass, we'll kick a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a complete pass and we win the game, we win the game.
What a weird situation. But I would imagine that's got to be it for Jameis Winston. Like, was it worth it? Was that touchdown worth it, dude? When Jamal Williams, was it worth it for that? I mean, you might cost guys their jobs. I know he didn't sound like he was advocating for it, but certainly didn't turn it down. It's a touchdown.
I mean, if you're one voice out of 11.
It's true. What if he just would have grabbed, they all thought they were doing it, he just grabbed it and kneeled it. I'm the hero. I'm the noble one. I did it. Ron Rivera out for the Washington Commanders. We knew that, we kind of had a feeling that was coming. Washington Commanders owner Josh Harris has hired two prominent executives, former Golden State Warriors general manager Bob Myers and former Vikings GM Rick Spielman, to assist his ownership group with searches for a new head of football operations and head coach, team officials told ESPN. So is Bob Myers going to be a part of, like, is he just a part of the search, or is he going to be like... Is he going to be a part of the... He's Golden State, dude. He's obviously responsible for assembling all those teams that won titles.
Well, he retired last year.
Yeah.
So he's been out of it, but...
He was doing media stuff, I think, wasn't he?
Does Carolina kick the tires on Rivera again? Come on back, coach.
I guess they need a coach, huh? No, I don't think so.
You think he's done?
Probably. As a head coach, do you think he's done? Do you think he goes back to be a coordinator? Because did he go from Carolina to Washington? Did he take a year off?
He may have went somewhere. Oh, he had cancer.
Yes, that's right. But did he get that after the Carolina job?
I believe so.
And so he got fired from Carolina. And then did he have cancer at that point? Or did he get... I thought he got it while he was with Washington. And then he made the recovery. Was Ron Rivera really with Carolina that long? Because he was the
He was hired in 2020.
By Washington?
Yes.
Okay. Well, wasn't he the D... He was the D coordinator for the Chargers for the longest time.
Yes.
That's where he came from.
Yeah, they went 5-7 to start the 2019 season. He was fired in December of 2019 and then hired in January 2020.
Okay. I don't know. How old is he? Probably getting...
I think the cancer stuff may have been in the off season.
Yeah, and then he kind of recovered once the season started. Falcons, as we talked about, fired coach Arthur Smith after three seasons without a playoff appearance or a winning record. So those were the first dominoes to fall.
That was a tough spot to go into anyway.
Falcons just haven't had, you know, Matt Ryan on his last leg they weren't very good. They just haven't had any.
They have the talent. They just don't have a quarterback, really.
Yeah. It's amazing what a difference getting the guy is. And you keep trying until you get him. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Waiting to see what happens with Bill Belichick. That's kind of the big one, too.
I'm also hearing Atlanta is maybe interested.
Well, the tough part about Belichick, is he 71? How long does he do this? Are you wanting to get a coach to come in for a quick fix? Because that's what you'd... I would say if you're like a Chargers, who you have your quarterback and you have a decent roster, that would make perfect sense for Bill Belichick. You know, I've already got a team ready to go, but do I want to go into a situation where it's kind of a rebuild? Does he have the energy for... He still loves coaching, but does he have the energy for that, and do you have the patience for that? And is he really going to be there for 5 years?
Does he want to do the rookie quarterback thing?
Yeah.
Or if not a rookie, do you want to work with a young Justin Fields? And the expectation is you better make Justin Fields be the guy, or we got to can both of you.
Do you think that Bill Belichick is motivated by the Tom Brady thing, the Brady-Belichick argument? He has... obviously, he's lost that argument right now. Do you think he's motivated by that?
I don't think so. I've never seen Belichick as that type of guy. Even when Brady left, I know they didn't end on the best of terms, but I still don't think that's... I don't think he's that type of person.
That it's just like, whatever.
Just,
I know how
football.
I know my worth.
I cut my sleeves off my hoodie. When you go to Atlanta, you don't really need a hoodie.
Gosh, I listened to his morning presser this morning on Good Morning Football. Oh, they had to cut it finally. They just left because it was so bad. It's so boring.
It's just miserable.
It's just...
I can't remember an intriguing
this
press
was
conference.
This was like really boring. Like it was, do you think you'll be back next year? Look at our defensive line and see what that looks like next year. Maybe we'll get better. I don't know where we'll go from there. Do you think he'll be back next year? Again, the defensive line. Like it's like, what? I'm not asking about a position group.
Watch film.
I'm going to go back and watch film. Tom Brady sucks. 12:29 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
No Broncos. Oh, well, playoffs should be fun. Hear every NFL playoff game on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Shout out to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Gonna get cold this week on gel. That's what it sounds like anyway. Be ready for it. Lemons Heating and Cooling, they want to make sure you're not freezing inside of your home. Maybe that heater's been acting up. It's not quite running the way it should. Certain rooms are getting heated while the others are freezing cold. You don't know what's going on. Talk to our friends at Lemons Heating and Cooling. Check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com.
Think we get snow this month?
What did Cody say this morning on Good Morning NoCo?
It's going to get cold.
Yeah.
It might just miss us again.
The snow?
Yes. We're like in a bubble.
Why can't it snow here? Come on. Like, I want it
like,
to
I'm
snow.
From the south, and I'm like asking, I just want to see some snow. Because I'm like, I'm sitting in my room playing video games on a Sunday afternoon, and I look outside, and it looks like it's July.
That's depressing to me. Like, it should be cold.
No, let me be moody and sad.
Let me be in cold mode. I've prepared myself. I've got my flannel shirt.
I've got all these blankets.
Yeah, I've got all these blankets and slippers and my fireplace, but let me feel cozy with it. I don't feel cozy when I look outside and it looks like I should be lighting fireworks. You know? Read a couple of texts before. I got to get your picks, by the way, everybody. Washington or Michigan? And we can talk about the spreads. 4.5? Michigan? Yeah. Favored? Future for future Broncos quarterback versus J.J. McCarthy and a guy that we thought might be our head coach.
About a potential Raiders head coach.
Yeah.
There are rumors going around.
Really?
About Harbaugh with the Raiders.
God, if I'm the Raiders, I'm gonna stick with Antonio Pierce. Man.
Can't do it.
No?
They won't do it.
That's dumb.
That's the second time that they have an interim coach that they love.
He's got them believing, man. They ended up 8-9 after they fired Josh McDaniels.
Oh, Devontae Adams likes him.
Yes.
You run it back with Aiden O'Connell, see what you get there.
Bring him back.
Nope, we're gonna go the Harbaugh route.
No, I would stay Antonio Pierce. Yeah. Dixon says, this is the equivalent of the Nuggets being up by 30 and shooting a three with 2 seconds left. Yeah, but only no one's going to get hurt. Now, it looked like to me, I went back and watched the Tyrann Mathieu pick because I didn't watch that game yesterday. Mathieu looked like he was slowing up, like toying with him, like, but he didn't look like he gave himself up to just
Tampa
go down.
The game ended like 30 minutes before and they clinched their spot. They clinched the division. Mm-hmm. So that game at the end of that was...
Did you
mostly
see,
meaningless.
Speaking of meaningless, the Seattle-Arizona game?
I didn't see it.
So yeah, Seattle's up by one, and Arizona's trying to get into field goal range, line up for Matt Prater, and it's announced over the PA that Green Bay had won, so that knocked out Seattle, right? Mm-hmm. I think that was who they needed to lose, right? Mm-hmm. Like right before the final kick. So if you're Seattle, you're kind of like, man, we might win this game. We're really nervous, though, because Prater might make this. And then they end up missing it. Matt Prater ended up missing the field goal.
Yikes.
So Seattle got the win. Ugh. In that case, would you rather lose? Because you're just like, dang, we were that. It almost makes it better knowing.
Hurts less.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was a really interesting weekend. Do you know, like, Baker Mayfield made an extra $2 million because he played 85% of the snaps? He played it. Every game?
He was banged up yesterday, too.
And he got another million. He got a million for 85% of the snaps and a million for making the playoffs.
All right, Baker.
Gardner Minshew got $2 million for playing 65% of the snaps. Darius Slayton got $2.5 million for having a catch against the Eagles. Like, that's a creative contract right there. Just go have a catch against the Eagles and we'll throw $2 million.
Was he like one catch away from a milestone?
I guess. There was a few. I read one. It was clearly a misprint because it said Geno Smith got an extra $2 million for making the playoffs. I'm like, you must have wrote that before Green Bay got their dub.
Is that worse than the Jags selling playoff tickets 2 weeks ago?
Boy, the Jags looked like absolute garbage over the weekend.
It's been garbage the last month.
But really bad there. Just terrible. Is that it for Derrick Henry in Tennessee?
You go on midfield and give a speech to the fans.
You know
after,
you're done.
Like, yeah, you're pretty much done.
He played. Has it been 10 years already?
Eight.
Is he a Hall of Famer? What's his yard output, yardage? I'd have to look at that. Let's look at it. We're going to talk CSU basketball coming up next with Steve Ivey, our CSU Hoops insider. They lost to Utah State, their first conference loss of the season, only second game, their second loss of the season. We'll talk to Steve coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back in. Thanks for being with us here. Always appreciate the hooligans out there tuning into the show. Want to thank Kane Doolin and McQuinn Young Law Firm. We know we live on dangerous roads in Weld County, Northern Colorado. So if you or a loved one have been injured in a car accident from a negligent driver, there's only one law firm to contact, and that is Kane Doolin, McQuinn and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Trying to reach Steve Ivey, our Colorado State Rams insider, our basketball insider, the hoopster. I mean, I listened to his podcast this morning, and, you know, he just knows his hoops. He knows his stuff when it comes to CSU. Check out his blog and his podcast at Crackers College, crackerscollegehoops.wordpress. .com. What was it? Crakers? What is a Craker? Steve Ivey is not a Craker. He's the Swole Cracker joining us now. And Steve, I'm not even a little bit sad about the loss to Utah State. I thought the Rams could win that game. They certainly had their opportunities, but I guess I've had it hammered into my brain enough, probably by you and others out there, that this conference is going to beat you up. You're going to lose tough games. And that was a tough spot to play. Wasn't it a sellout? Spectrum was packed. It was nuts. And that's a good basketball team.
Absolutely. I'm, of course, disappointed being a CSU fan, and I think Ram Nation in general is pretty disappointed because it was an opportunity for a good win against a very good team. But what a tough spot to play in front of a sellout crowd. Their first sellout of the year. When you're a ranked team, you have a target on your back. They have built they've had a lot of success with that program, but you've got a brand new coach with basically a brand new team. And they're really riding a wave, and that was always going to be a very, very difficult game. And evidently, it was just absolutely raucous and crazy there. Great college basketball environment in Logan, Utah. It's a tough loss, but, you know, CSU didn't take a hit in any of the major metrics that qualify you for the NCAA tournament. The only downside is it's a loss, and they really want to win the Mountain West Conference Championship, and a win there would have gone a long way, getting a road win against one of the top teams.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I would imagine we're going to see Utah State drop a few games too, and then maybe even this thing out, and we'll see. What can you say, though, on the Utah State side of things? You mentioned it. Danny Sprinkle, an amazing name, by the way, but just taken off with this team. And we talked about this. I think I talked about this on Friday with Isaiah. Steve, was the fact that, you know, the schedule makers, the TV schedulers, didn't think Utah State and CSU were probably going to be worth the darn this year, so didn't bother to put them on any major kind of network, so we only got to watch it on the Mountain West Network on their website. But Danny Sprinkle has this team rocking and rolling, man.
Yeah, you know, you should have, you know, given the fact he came from Montana State, you've seen him at in Greeley the last few years. He was there 4 years, took him 2 years of some hard times, and next thing you know, he took over the Big Sky the last 2 years. So a heck of a coach, and really good in terms of understanding what the region takes, what Utah State really requires to be successful. So he's brought in some transfers from Montana State, two really good players, Darius Brown and Great Osabor, and then mixed it in with a bunch of other transfers, and had a returning redshirt freshman who was a perfect fit for what they're trying to do and what has traditionally been worked at Utah State. He was a Utah high school player who went out on a two-year LDS mission and redshirted a year. So he's a 22-year-old freshman. Name is Mason Falslev. He had 18 the other night. But that's the core of how Utah State has built their successes with older players who have gone out on LDS missions, and you can bet he's going to be a core player, much like Sam Merrill was just a few years ago, who's now in the NBA. So he's done a great job building that team, and it shows now. They're ranked 20th today, Brady, 20th in the AP poll.
Yeah, and where I didn't even look yet. Did CSU, are they sticking it? Did they move one spot? Is that 14?
They moved to 17.
17, okay.
17, San Diego State 18, Utah State 20. And I want to mention something regarding that. You got three Mountain West teams in the top 25 for the first time in 11 years.
Wow.
Time was 2013 when it was CSU, New Mexico, and I think UNLV. If it wasn't UNLV, it was San Diego State. Anyway, what I think is really, really interesting, you know, they talk about the Mountain West being a mid-major conference. CSU happens to be in the same state with a team from the Pac-12. Utah State happens to be in the same state with a team from the Pac-12. San Diego State happens to be in the same state with four teams from the Pac-12. Mountain West has three teams ranked. Pac-12 has one team that's ranked. I'd say that's pretty amazing. It's certainly not a mid-major conference.
No, you're exactly right. Not when it comes to college basketball. Steve, what do you think? You think they're shooting a little extra free throws, CSU, this week as they prepare for Boise State? That was rough. They didn't go to the free throw line once in the first half, but then when they finally did get to the free throw line, 4 of 11.
So, you know, Brady, it was an anomaly. They're a great free throw shooting team. And it's always hard to say how much the crowd influenced it. I'm sure the crowd was awfully loud and raucous while they were trying to shoot free throws. But Isaiah going 1 for 3, just to put that in perspective, he's played in that gym 4 previous times and has shot 15 for 17. So he's played in front of loud crowds there. Obviously, the free throw shooting was a factor. If CSU shoots their normal percentages, they have 4 more points. If Utah State shoots their normal percentages, they have 4 less points. And that, on paper, looks like enough to make a difference. But as I talked about in my podcast this morning, you can't just look at it simply by the made and missed free throws. Utah State was able to impose their inside presence a little stronger, and CSU did not handle that very well defensively. They fouled the big guy too many times, and ultimately they needed to play better interior defense. And then on the offensive side, CSU needed to make a few more layups and a couple more threes, and they had the opportunities. But Utah State's a good program. Utah State figured out a way to fight their way to a win.
Yeah, they did. We knew it was going to be a battle for sure. Well, it doesn't get any easier. They're on the road going to Boise State coming up tomorrow night. And I did watch the second half of the Boise State-San Jose State game. And it looked, you know, again, it was a rough go in that first half for the Broncos. But once they kind of get cooking, once they get rolling, that could be a really scary team too. And obviously, we know how good they are at home. That is going to be a difficult spot for anybody to play. So I know CSU is going to have to be ready to rock and roll in that one.
Yeah, you know, so probably a little known fact to the listeners. The current longest home winning streak in Division I college basketball is held by Boise State at 21 straight. So it is a very, very difficult place to play. If you watch the game on Friday, they absolutely dominated the second half inside. They owned the glass. They ended up winning the rebound battle by about 55 to 25. It wasn't even close. They have a very, very strong front line. CSU struggled to rebound against Utah State. CSU rebounded very well against New Mexico, and this game is going to come down to, I think, inside presence, the ability for CSU to neutralize the front line for Boise. They have Tyson Degenhard, returning All-Mountain West player, a transfer from St. John's named Omar Stanley, who was a Mountain West Player of the Week last week, and then a really good small forward who shoots threes at about 50% clip. So really, really strong. CSU is going to have to neutralize them, and then Boise has a little bit weaker backcourt, and CSU should be able to take advantage of that. But it's, again, you know, here's another disappointing thing. It's only going to be streamed on the MW. Mm. I think it did get picked up by a local channel, by Channel 20, KTVD. But it's not on a major network. It was a lot of, it's a Tuesday night game and people didn't think CSU was going to be that strong this year. That's why Utah State was supposed to be weak, CSU just a little bit better. That's why that game was streamed, and that certainly deserved to be a national game. This one on Tuesday night is going to be one of the top 5 games in the country played on Tuesday night. And it's just the third game in a really good opening stretch for the Rams, starting with New Mexico, moving on to Utah State, and then finishing with Boise before they come home to a bye. It's a heck of a stretch, and it'll be a great win for them on tomorrow night.
Yeah, it would be, no question about it. Tall task for sure, but this is a really great basketball team in Colorado State. Steve, tell our listeners where they can check your stuff out. I listened to your podcast this morning. Well done, as always, my friend. Let our listeners know how they can find you.
You can find me on Spotify at Crackers College Hoops. Not Quackers. not Quakers.
I'll get
not
there. Quackers, I'll get there.
Crackers. but I hope, did you enjoy my rant about the officiating?
I did. You know I always love it because you know every ref in the history of the world, and I think it's so impressive. But, yes, I did enjoy the rant.
Well, you know, I launched a little bit, not about whether it costs CSU the game, because, you know, you can always argue that one way or the other. I don't get into that, but it was just the lack of experience. Two refs out of three had never refereed a Mountain West Conference game before. One guy had never refereed anything probably in a gym bigger than 1,500. Here he is in front of a crowd of 10,500 loud people. And so it had to be overwhelming for them, for two of those three officials. And that's asking a lot. There's so much inexperience. But I talked about that in my podcast. Like I said, you can find me on Spotify. And then my blog, I will write up game reports of games that I attend that I see with my eyes. I do not like covering teams off the TV. TV only gives you a two-dimensional view of where the ball is. You don't get to see the entire court. And you know as well as I do, I've sat with games with you, Brady. You see the entire court, too. It's more enjoyable, but it's also more, you can get a lot better picture of a game by being able to see more than just what the camera sees. So yeah. You can on crackerscollegehoops.wordpress.com.
I love it, man. Nobody sees the game quite like you do, my friend. Steve, appreciate you, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
You bet, Brady. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you.
All right, man. Sounds good. 12:52 the time. Let's take a quick break, wrap up this hour. In the third hour, more on the Broncos, NFL playoff pictures, and the national championship. Who you got, Michigan or Washington tonight? A big one. I am very excited about this game. Tonight is the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Happy New Year from the entire KFKA crew. Thanks for making us your station. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Harrison Wynn with DNVR Nuggets. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The Broncos wrap up the season with an 8-9 record. It was their best record since 2016, so that's kind of cool. You know, good job, team. Now we set our sights toward, you know, obviously free agency, the draft, what that's all going to look like. What are the next steps for the Broncos? When you just look at their position groups, where do they need to get better? Obviously, we're talking quarterback a lot, but there's a lot of other positions that need to be addressed this offseason. Guys that we thought might have solved the problem, but ended up kind of just being another problem. So we'll get into that. The NFL playoff picture is set. Talk about some of the matchups early on, kind of a way too early preview. And then the national championship, we'll bust into that. Michigan and Washington tonight. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.